The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John chapter 1, verse 5. Welcome to Echoes Through the Abyss, a place where the deepest valleys of human experience meet the unrelenting light of hope. In this world, many have walked through darkness, through trauma, loss, brokenness and despair. But even in the depths, even in the silence of the abyss, there are echoes. Echoes of survival, echoes of redemption, echoes of faith. Here we share real stories of people who have faced the darkness and found their way back to the light. Because no matter how deep the abyss may feel, hope still speaks. This is Echoes Through the Abyss podcast.
Hey, hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
I am Ben.
I'm Veronica.
And he has been getting ready to be a counselor, getting ready to start into it.
Trying, working on it.
Yes.
Which is going to be so awesome.
Great.
The public's going to be so happy he's in it. He's just going to be a blessing to a lot of people.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be a blessing than a curse, so hopefully.
Positive thoughts, brother. Positive thoughts. Would you like to pray us in, sir?
Yes. Father Jesus, thank you for bringing us together tonight to go over your word and help us to reach as many people as we can, that they hear you, not us, and that we are able to just get the message that you want to get to them tonight, Father. And we thank you for all of the blessings you've bestowed us in our life. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Before we jump into anything, I want to show a video because it's, I don't know if Diana sent us this one or if it's one I just came across by accident, but oh my gosh, the song is amazing. Can't see anymore.
By the way, just in case anyone worries about me, this curious drink that I keep drinking is kombucha.
Okay.
I love kombucha.
Me too.
It's very nice.
It's a little bit too fermented, I think, for me.
Mm-hmm. It's an acquired taste, but when you get hooked, you're hooked.
It's very healthy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what. Well, anything fermented is really very good for you. It's good for your gut bacteria.
Yep.
For those of you who want to know.
Yeah.
Okay. This song is called When God Stepped In by Wade Rivers. It's really such an amazing song.
Okay.
Y'all hear it?
Yes.
I was standing in the wreckage of the man I used to be, with the weight of all my failures laying heavy over me. I was running from the truth, trying hard to hide my sin. But the farther that I wandered, the closer it closed in. I was one breath from breaking, one step from giving in. And that's the very moment God stepped in. When the night got cold and the fear set in, I felt a whisper in the darkness say, this ain't the end. When God stepped in, the chains fell off, the tears poured down and the pain backed off. When God stepped in, the storm went still. He spoke one word and it broke my will. I should have been gone, but mercy pulled me in. My whole life changed when God stepped in. I was drowning in the river where the strong men sink, trying hard to numb the hurt with another drink. I was lost in the fire, God stepped in. When the lies got loud and the hope wore thin, I heard a voice say, the tears poured down and the pain backed off. When God stepped in, the storm went still. My whole life changed when God stepped in. Let the mountains shake, let the thunder roll. I've been through hell, but he saved my soul. Every scar I carry is a story of him. The night I was dying, and God stepped in. When God stepped in, the fear let go, the past lost power, and grace took hold. When God stepped in, I could breathe again. He turned my broken heart into a beating one. Yeah, the devil had a plan, but he didn't win, 'cause everything changed when God stepped in.
Love that song.
It was very good.
Yeah, very beautiful. Yes.
There we go. All right, so tonight we're continuing on with the parables that are all in Matthew, which I didn't realize were 8,000 of them. So we'll start with the parable of the weeds, and this is, starts in Matthew 13. It's verse 26 through 30, or 24 through 30, actually. Ben, you want to do this one?
Sure. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. But while man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in the bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Okay, so if you jump over to verse 36, which I'll just read, it kind of explains this, and I was actually kind of surprised because I got this one right. It says, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is a world. And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Which actually makes sense. This is one of his simpler but profound parables, in my mind anyway. Any comments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Veronica.
Yeah, so it is scary to know that, but he's advising us so many times that it's going to be a harvest and it's going to be a separation. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be like he had to take the ones that decide to be with him, practically, because I don't think that no one is good. No one of us is perfect, and we all have been doing bad things. But the point is, who decide to be with him?
Yeah.
Who decide to be in the light? Who decide to be in the darkness? So we have that. That's why people that is dying in bed in the last moment, they still have the opportunity to decide that in the last minute and repent for everything they did before. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I feel that too. And like, I think it's actually like a little trickier of a passage than it is from a glance. Cause for me, it's like, at first glance, I would think the tares were sin themselves itself. But then but looking at it, since they're both growing equal, and then the angels are going to gather the good God planted seed, and then first they're going to burn the tares. It almost feels like the tares are the people that aren't Jesus followers, and that the good seed is the followers of Christ, right? Like,
well,
so
look
it's
at you
almost
being
like
all
different
existential.
people.
That's a good interpretation. I kept it simple in my head because this stuff is, yeah, not super easy for me anymore, but that's all right.
Yeah, the reason I think that way is just too because of what Veronica was saying, which is like, none of us are good. We all sin, right? So if you're just looking at it as sin, then they would all be tares. There would not be any good seed planted, right? The good seed planted are the ones that chose Christ, and he's washed them clean, so they are able to be good through his sacrifice, right? That means to me that the rest would be the people that didn't do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Which,
absolutely.
Have you guys ever heard of Krista Pike?
I've heard the name.
No.
She's
Who's
the
that?
Only woman on death row in Tennessee right now, and she's actually scheduled to be hanged in about a month and a half. And she's just been on my mind because, you know, her time's coming near. And I know when she committed her crimes back in, I want to say it was like 2012 or something like that, around that time frame, she was supposedly a devil worshiper. So, and being on death row, I've already looked. You can't like send them emails like you can to, you know, normal incarcerated people. But it just kind of dawned on me, like, I wonder if she found Jesus while she was in there, because her time's coming up quickly.
Well, they have a big last opportunity. People that is sentenced to death of, but they have that opportunity, you know.
They send
they
them a
know
priest,
that
right?
Yeah.
They do send a priest, I think. Oh, they make them pick if it is a priest or a counselor or a, you know, chaplain. I don't
chaplain.
Know.
Yeah, but what if she's still worshiping the devil and she's not going to accept Jesus like at the last minute?
I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I don't like, for me, I feel people that worship the devil. I'm putting little quotation signs up for the people that are just listening. They don't really worship the devil. I think that they are just lost in trying to hang on to something that makes them feel powerful. And like, to me,
like the occultists and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that like you until I met people that actually say that they were part of satanic places.
Well,
and
you know, they have it's called Luciferians or Luciferians. Like I don't know if they worship Lucifer, but they're like, they follow him.
Yeah.
And it's not
no,
like,
and then there is people
black
that
magic.
Go to temples. And I remember not long ago that they were opening a devil temple in Texas. And
oh,
I
wow.
just don't know. I just don't know how in this country they let that something like that happen.
Well,
I
they
mean,
have to, because it's in the Constitution. We have freedom of religion here.
Freedom
so
of religion. You can really do whatever you want as long as you're not killing people or harming people openly.
That should be considered anti-religion, I think.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on if you follow that religion, then it wouldn't be anti-religion to you. It would be, your bread and butter, I guess, but I don't know.
Understand.
It's way too
Yeah,
dark
but
for
it's
me.
like, I mean, all drug dealers and very bad people, criminals, will be following that path, and you don't want that for the country, of course, but
Well, not all of them, because the girl I
no,
was
all
talking
of
to
them.
in prison, she's did the most heinous thing. I mean, I'm assuming murder's probably about the worst you can do, other than, having another god, having another idol or whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but she's a born again Christian, so she didn't continue with the murderous ways that she had in her early 20s. Which is good, obviously. So, I mean, I think if she repented and everything, then God says, he'll forgive, and she follows the rules, and I would assume keeps her nose clean in prison. I don't see why she couldn't go to heaven too. Not hell, heaven.
Yeah. Can I give a hot take on the murder statement though? Like, and I could be wrong, but like I feel like to mankind, right, to us, murder is the worst sin possible. But I feel like to God, all sin is equal. And I think that's why we have to have the salvation of Jesus, right? Most people aren't killers. Most people didn't do anything that people would consider that bad. But to God, all sin's unholy and all sin is equally terrible.
All things are the same, and
And
we
Jesus said too, right, that like if you think it, you've already done it. So if you thought, man, I want to kill you because you're making me mad, you're already a murderer anyway. So the
Oh
crime
gosh, I've killed a
that
lot of
girl
people then.
committed, that's what I'm saying. The crime that girl committed, we've all done it anyways because we've already thought it in our minds.
That's true.
I don't think that's biblical, though. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that says God sees all sins the same.
Maybe not all the same, but it definitely says that Jesus himself definitely says, I believe in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Like there's a point where he says that if you thought it, then you've committed it.
Well, Jesus stated that the one who handed him over has a greater sin, indicating that Caiaphas's betrayal carried more culpability than Pilate's sentencing. So, I mean, Jesus, I guess there's a hierarchy of sins.
Well, and
And
it does say too that like the only sin that won't be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So I guess that one would be higher weighted as well. Unfortunately, I've heard
Good
people
point.
talk about it, but like I don't know exactly what it means. So it's like, well, please don't let me commit that sin, Lord, because I'm not
Yeah,
sure quite what
me
it
neither.
is.
I always have been, oh my gosh, I will never. Yeah. Try
It
not to
says
use
that
the words Holy Spirit.
the New Testament affirms that all sins deserve God's judgment. But that doesn't mean that all sins carry equal weight. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to dive a little bit deeper into that because now I'm curious. Because
Yeah.
we want
But
to
if you
do,
do, but
we
if you
want to
do
talk
look at
about
when
things that are
Jesus
biblical.
said that like all anything sin that you've thought you've committed, we've really all done almost every sin anyways. So maybe they don't have equal weight,
Adultery, lust,
but we
everything.
can't really judge people for doing something that's like technically according to Christ, we've already done it as well for the
Well, we
most
can't judge people, period. It's not our place. We're not allowed to.
True. Well, we can. We shouldn't.
We shouldn't.
We do. We shouldn't.
We absolutely do. And that's one of my things that I'm working on too, because it's so hard, because
Same.
sometimes you see people from, I don't want to make myself sound snobby, but from like a different class structure, and you want to immediately like call them white trash kind of some people, like the people I watch on YouTube, like the Karens and stuff like that. I just
And just to put out there for any listeners, that is obviously a term that you guys all know now. It's very common now, but there are nice Karens in the world. So we're trying to
not the
down all
name Karen, the
the Karens.
theological version of what a Karen is, the Karen. I don't even know how to describe that person. Just absolutely bearable and unreasonable,
How unfortunate it would
irrational.
be if you were like born with a name and then it becomes like synonymous for horrible stuff.
I'd change my name. If my name was Karen, I would change my name or try to let people see
By
that
my middle
Christ
name.
lives in me. Maybe I could change it back to, being something Jesus
It's
affiliated.
funny because we had like three Karens at the airline, and then
Oh
my
yeah.
kids were little, and then I told them, Oh, you know, George, there is like three Karens there. Like, really? Three? Said, yeah.
Did you clarify that they don't actually act like Karens, though?
Yeah,
I've known some really good Karens.
I do too, actually. My cousin's a Karen, and she's okay. I love her.
Just okay.
Yeah, it's been a really cool kind of cool. God's just really interesting the way he plans things out years in advance. And I had an existential conversation with the Holy Spirit on my way home from Nashville this past weekend, and as I joined my first co-group, so I'm trying to get involved and meet more people because it's a huge church. It's impossible to meet everybody. So get involved in groups and stuff like that. But on my way home, I was thinking, the whole thing with Lindsay, my sister, really kind of made me angry and hurt my feelings a lot. Sorry to put them in my mouth. But then I got to thinking, well, because there was a point during the whole thing with Lindsay that I wish I'd never met her. My life would have been so much better. But then Holy Spirit pointed out to me, actually, it wouldn't, because you needed Lindsay I needed her in my life to, first of all, love on me the way she did, because I needed it at the time. I mean, I still need love, but I get it from the Holy Spirit now. I don't rely on anybody for that, because it's so much better from him. My bestie. He's my bestie, whether he likes it or not. But
I don't know her or that situation, so I probably shouldn't speak right now, but just
you can.
came into my spirit to say that, like, some people that seem really connected to the church, and they might not necessarily not be real or legit in every way, but like some people that seem really connected to the church care more about that image that they have in the church and what they mean to the church. And then when they have like real work, when God puts the real work in front of them, they've got no time for that. Right. Like, right. So
And
I
I'm
feel
not
like.
saying that that's how she feels, because I really don't think that's how she feels, but that's kind of the way it seemed for me, because I'm kind of in agreement with you on it as far as that goes. But I needed that to happen, number one, for me to get back into, because she brought me back into the church I was going to before I found my real
Which is
one.
huge.
Which is actually a big church too. And getting me back in church, period, was a miracle just in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean that
But
was huge. Getting you into
yeah,
church
that
was
was
huge.
huge. And then me being at her ministry house, that's when I first heard Hope Darst's song, The Mighty Name of Jesus. And the first time I heard it, it really just like hit me in my heart, which is why I love her so much. But then I think the following Sunday, or maybe a couple Sundays after, but it was January 18th. I remember the day specifically. Our worship team at that church played that song and I lost it. And that's when I rededicated myself back to Jesus again. And then because of what happened between Lindsay and I, it almost felt like when she stopped talking to me, everybody else there did too. So I'm just like, you know what? This is not my place. These are not my people. And there's nothing wrong with these people. They're lovely people. But he kept prompting me to go check out the Belonging Company in Nashville, which is where I go now. And can you guys still hear me? Because I'm frozen
Yeah,
on the screen.
you're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I finally went up there and it was just, I mean, just one thing after another. The people were just amazing when I walked in. One lady came up and gave me a hug. And everybody just introduces themselves automatically to you. It's wonderful. It's just an incredible experience. And of course, that was the day that Hope Darst was leading worship. And she'd been gone for a while because she does a lot of shows now. She tours a lot. So
Yeah.
just the fact that my first time there was her first time back in a while was just like incredible to me. And then the message that was sent was also, it was the one about calling God Abba instead of the Father, just being more intentional, more intimate with God by saying that. But it really hit me in my heart too. And I was like, okay, this is where I belong. And then I got to know, some of the pastors, and everything was just incredible. And this past Sunday kind of just reaffirmed everything, that this is where I'm supposed to be, because the group I joined was just amazing. There was like 25, 30 of, excuse me, 25 or 30 of us, and everybody was just warm and lovely and kind. I mean, I know we're all humans and I know we make mistakes and nobody's perfect, which I get that. But they just seemed so genuine and nice. It was fun. Anyway,
Yes.
my screen is
So
frozen.
I
You're
thought
not
that
broken,
that
Mara.
Lisa
I
was
can.
your sister, but your sister, your family.
Well, she's
I
my
thought
stepsister. I don't. She's not blood.
that
She's my
step sister.
stepsister. Yeah. I
A
mean, I
step
consider her my
sister.
sister because I don't do the whole step thing. Because if you're family, you're family for me anyway.
Yeah.
It's very odd though that like the whole church stopped talking to you. That's like, that's
She's
very
very well known in the
unchurch.
church.
Yeah, but still, that's very unchurch-like. That's very odd.
Yeah,
It is,
I
but
mean, what the heck is that?
that almost put me back in mind of the church I was at when I was in college, because there's a lot of people like that too. It's very cliquish, I guess. Not saying that this church is cliquey, but Lindsay, I guess, has a lot of pull. I don't know. A lot of people love her there, so it's kind of like, well,
That will be the opposite that Jesus will do if
for
he
sure.
was in earth.
Yeah,
I
for sure.
agree. Like,
And even if like she talked to them and made them not want to talk to you, like
I
that's
don't
so
think she did that.
wrong. Well, then they just stopped on their own. That's even worse, right? Like they have no reason. It's very, very odd. Very odd.
Yeah, I agree. And like the people I befriended after Lindsay and I stopped talking, not one of them has reached out to me since I've been gone to see what's going on. So I'm just like, definitely wasn't belonging there at all. And
No.
they're the one of the churches that always say you belong. They've got the big signs up, and I'm just like, well, you sure didn't make me feel like I belonged.
Your
Whereas the
tithing
church I'm going to
belongs.
now, yeah, the church I'm going to now, from the second I walked through their doors, even before I walked into when I was in the parking lot, they made me feel welcome. They made me feel seen, which is a big thing, because people like to be seen. And even though it's a huge church, there's still people there that just make you feel like you're a human being and that you're important and they're actually happy that you're there.
Yeah,
And
it is a
that's
good feeling to feel seen and important. But like, man, when I first go to a new church and I just want to fade into the wall and just listen to the message and people start popping out all over, like, oh, I haven't seen you here before. Who are you? It's like, oh man, please leave me alone.
Now, Ben, don't be
You should
antisocial.
go to a Catholic church again.
They'll leave me alone.
They will leave you alone.
They'll leave me alone.
They won't care about you.
No, other than when they come by with the plate, right?
Yes, with a plate.
It was
You belong
interesting
in
too,
your
man. You were
church.
talking earlier about how like you like say Abba now from that ministry. And it's like I don't say Abba very often at all. I think I probably have before. I usually say Jesus when I pray, or I'll say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And like I like to get them all in there. But like when I'm really serious, when I'm really needing, like when my prayer is at its like depth, I do say Yeshua. I do
Oh
say
yeah,
Yeshua.
Yeshua, yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
like to go to
Jesus's
the old name.
name. This is what he was actually called because Jesus, there wasn't a J in the language back then. So Jesus is
I
something that
love
came
that
later.
name, Yeshua. Yes.
Joshua, yeah. Which I think translates now into Joshua, I think. Into our
Yeah.
language now,
Yeah,
but
Joshua
Yahuwah
is
was
from,
Jesus.
they're all, yeah, rooted together.
Yes.
Yeah,
And for the Father, Yahweh.
Yahweh,
Yahweh.
yeah. Yeah. Look at you with your Hebrew. You go, girl. All right. We want to
But
jump
it's
down
better than
to.
my English. Oh,
No,
stop
your
it.
English is good.
Your English is better than your Hebrew, I promise. Veronica, you want to read the parables of the mustard seed? It starts Matthew 13, verse 31 through 35. 35, yeah.
31 to 35. Yes. It is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches.
I'll go ahead and
Where
read the
would you want?
yeast one too. It's right afterwards.
Parable of the yeast. Jesus also used the illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman using making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like this when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled that God has spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world.
Okay, so the parable of the yeast, I'm thinking that Jesus is, I have no idea. Somebody explain it.
I think that the
Okay,
mustard
here's
seed and the
the.
yeast are like the same parable, really, just different words, right?
Yes,
Like,
it's two different illustrations. Yeah.
yeah, of the same thing.
So the mustard seed's so tiny, but it grows up into this huge tree that life lives on and calls home, something like that. Whereas the yeast works the same way inside of us, it grows us up to be strong Christians and
Yeah.
strong in Christ, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the kingdom of
Yes.
God is within, right? So the
Yeah.
kingdom of God while you're on earth is within. And that
What happened
tiny
is
seed.
our faith start with a seed,
Yes.
you know, a little seed, and
Yeah.
then the faith grows and grows and grows, and it could be that big like that tree. The same thing with that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is our faith,
Right.
you know, because it wouldn't be a kingdom of God. It will be just God by himself without our faith. So
Right.
that's what he wants from us, our faith. That's the kingdom of God. And then he say the kingdom of God is that a woman doing a dough and she had yeast, and that will like make three times the size of the dough, you know? It grows, and that's the way that it grows. So that yeast that the woman put on the dough, that is our praying, our worship time, and then also our looking for knowing God. And the only way to find God is reading scriptures, learning about him, and doing what we are doing right now, community with others, being with other Christians and learn about God. Because I can be reading the Bible by myself and say, this is great, and I feel what you want to tell me, but I learn so much about you and you. I learn everything, and it's great also, especially Mandy, your questions always are great because it's like an opportunity to not to teach because we are not teachers, but it's an opportunity to dig into the word. It's an
Yeah, and to learn
opportunity
together.
to dig into what he wanted to tell us, and we didn't even think in that because we think, oh, it's simple, it's just this and that, but it's not that simple.
No. And
There
honestly,
is a lot
like
to dig.
to prove the lack of simplicity, when you look at the mustard seed one, right? It's a
Yeah.
tiny little verse, but it's not just about the size, the seed being small and then growing big. It also says that the mustard seed is the greatest among the herbs, right? And the herbs are used to season, to put on food and sustain life. And it says that the birds of the air will build their homes in it. So this is so such a great giant tree. It provides life, sustenance, it provides home, right? It gives us security and home, right? It's everything. It's food, it's shelter.
All from a teeny tiny little
All
round
from the teeny
seed.
seed, yeah.
And that's all you need, because when I was totally wishy-washy, that ne never go to church, and I was on my own comfort years ago, I had this evangelical friend that she was talking to me about God, and I remember telling her, this is the last time you talk to me about this. We don't think the same. And I remember being rude with her, but she always was putting that seed on me. In later years later, it changed because God's grace on me. And thank you for that. And then finally, I talked to her and I say, I'm sorry, I did this. But I always remember that she put that seed. So when I get discouraged with my friends that I talk about Jesus, and then they get like, oh, there she comes again, or whatever, you know? And then I always think in what how I was and the mustard seed that my friend deposited on me, you know?
Yeah.
So
Yeah,
that's the way it cuts.
I had my seeds planted a long time ago, and then it stopped being watered because I walked away. Like, I'm done, when I was 19. And then now, 30 years later, here I am again, getting ready to go into prison ministry, which still scares the
Nice.
bejesus out of me. That's okay.
Well, you will be protected. I mean, with the Holy Spirit,
Yeah.
I'm sure. That's a beautiful ministry.
I
I
think it
always
is
have
too.
been wanted to go also, especially to this Dayton Correctional with my friends from my church. They bring the cookies with the
Well, you
messages.
should.
And yes, I just
Carl,
am
what's the time
waiting
to do
that.
it?
I'm waiting that on November the 8th, I might be able, if God permits, to retire the airline.
Oh, yeah.
So that will be a big thing. So then I can commit with things because I don't want to keep committing with things
No.
and don't get into them, you know?
Yeah, you definitely don't like our prison ministry with my church is it's a year-long commitment. It's like they pair us up with somebody who's in their last year of incarceration for us to kind of help them ease back into society a little bit easier. And of course, hopefully do it through Jesus, because he's the best way to do it. And then we stick with them, I think, for 6 months after they're incarcerated or after they get out. So I'm excited.
Do the prisoners usually then join the church, or when they
They
get
don't
out?
have to.
I get that they don't have to, but do they usually, or do you, or do they usually, I guess, just wander away or whatever?
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on where they're from. Like, if, they may not be from Tennessee, but they
Okay,
may
then
have just committed their
oh, that's
crime
true.
here.
People are
And
brought in from other
yeah.
places. Yeah, that's
So, I
fair.
mean, if they live here, I'm of course going to try to get them to come to my church if that's what they're led to do, of course, because I may be biased, but I love my church. It's
Yeah,
amazing.
and
But
absolutely. If you're there and you're showing them the word and you're being a support to them, and they live near there, like you say, you would be welcome here, right? That would be an important thing.
Absolutely. If you love music, this is the place to be. I know that song I played earlier was kind of country, but you got to keep in mind, I am in Tennessee and my church is based out of Nashville. So there's going to be some country getting into
Yeah,
my.
I like the
Yeah.
countryness of it.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, before Veronica got on, right, Dolly Parton just passed
Yeah.
today. So,
Yeah. So
rest in peace,
sad.
Dolly. Yeah, so yeah,
She made
that's a
that
big
beautiful
country song.
song.
Yeah.
I think that she was very Christian.
Yeah. I think she did a couple gospel songs. Don't ask me
Yeah,
what they were,
she
but.
did that one that is wonderful that was very famous. The name of this. What is that song, George, that Dolly Parton did for Jesus?
There was Jesus.
There was Jesus. You have to listen
Oh,
to
look at
that.
him
There
go.
was Jesus. Yes.
Yeah,
Yes. It
she led a
was.
pretty good life. She was very generous too. Like when Gatlinburg burned down and stuff like that, she, I think, donated so much money that people could rebuild their houses and things like that. I mean, she took care of the people up there as much as she could, which
Awesome.
you don't see a lot of celebrities doing that nowadays for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I think she genuinely had a good heart. I would have liked to have met her, but
Yeah.
we get upstairs.
Yeah, well, listen to that song. That was Jesus.
I've heard it before because they actually remade it, maybe 5 to 10 years ago, and it was a country male singer, but then Dolly sang with him. Like, so they made it a duet.
That's typical. I'll listen to her original version first. All right, so let's jump down to verse 44, getting to the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. We're still in Matthew 13, by the way. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Yeah. That I understood, like, remember that rich man that approached to Jesus and say, yes, I want to follow you. And he say, sell everything you have and follow me. And he couldn't. He really wanted to follow Jesus, but he couldn't sell everything he had. Well, when you find Jesus, and when
You
you
give it
really
all.
find him, you know that there is nothing better than him. There is no more richness further than that, you know? So that's your treasure. And when you find that treasure, you had to keep it. So when people that really find Jesus realize that, so then that's their treasure they wanna keep and they wanna save and they wanna have for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
That's
Not the
the
material
soul
stuff.
focus, right? You'll sell everything to buy the field where the kingdom is. Like
Exactly.
sometimes I know we're not supposed to be jealous or envy, but I don't know if you guys have had this thought before, but sometimes I'm like, man, the apostles were lucky, except for
Yeah.
Judas, right? And
Well, yeah.
they were tortured and killed in horrible ways, except for John. But like, well, he was boiled alive. He survived it though.
Yeah.
But so no one got off easy, but like they were so lucky just to be with God on earth.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew
And
how lucky they were. I think they just were living. I mean, I think they appreciated it and they deserved it, and that's why they were there.
yes. I mean,
But
think
like,
about it. Could you, if we were them, would you be able to comprehend, okay, that this is the only reason I'm not going to burn in hell for the rest of eternity?
no,
This
I don't think any of them
point
got
right
that.
here.
I don't know. I don't know if they understood that until the ascension or the resurrection and pre-ascension. At that point, you'd feel pretty good. When Jesus comes back from the dead, you'd be like, I feel pretty safe in my decision-making process that I've been following this person.
Well, I think they all really never really had a problem with, except for Simon Peter at one point, but I think they all felt good just because of the way that Jesus put things and just the way he spoke and talked about the new kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I think they all probably liked how that he put the Pharisees and Sadducees in their places too.
And then the walking on water and the raising people from the dead, they were seeing things. They were like, this feels pretty safe for me.
Turning water into wine. I think a lot of people would love that feature.
But they had, which you know, I obviously you know like the chosen isn't like it's not what really happened, but it does show you a glimpse of, and it makes you think things that you wouldn't have thought. Like, for instance, they see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, but they also see other people die that Jesus doesn't raise. And so it's like you know this
Yeah, like poor
person's the
Thomas.
savior, and you know this person's divine. And you can't really question them, but you got to be like, why this person and not that person, God?
Did he ever answer that in The Chosen? I can't remember. I had to go back and rewatch it again. Because, like, I know Thomas had a real problem with it when he raised Lazarus. He Thomas in the show, not in the Bible,
In
in
the
the
show,
show.
yeah, because I don't think Thomas has really had a wife that died in the Bible that I remember at all. Like Thomas, they don't mention any of that. But you know
No,
that they saw people
one of them.
die, right? That Jesus didn't raise.
Well, there is somebody that died that Jesus didn't raise, John the Baptist. But
Well, he couldn't, though,
it
because wasn't
was
it
not.
prophesied that John was supposed to die as he was preparing the way for Jesus? I mean, wasn't that like the whole point?
Exactly.
But he could have
Yeah,
died and been
exactly.
resurrected, right? He could have been brought back too, but
That was not the
that was
plan.
not
That
the
was
plan.
not. Yeah, exactly. That was his
Well, it
time to
wouldn't have
go
been
to
the right
heaven
time
and
either,
enjoy
because I
God,
think
you
Jesus
know?
picked Lazarus
Well,
because of the time frame.
But it's like Jesus said the reason he raised Lazarus, right, was to show people the power that he had, right? Like it was for a purpose, but probably God doesn't look at death the same way we do. John the Baptist was in heaven having a good time at that point. Jesus probably was not like, I need to save John. He was probably like, John's better off than me. I have to suffer a few more years and then be crucified, right?
Well, I think the raising of Lazarus was like the beginning of his end. That's what started the whole
I
tribulation
mean,
or
if you look at,
li
I mean,
leading up to the crucifixion, I guess, right?
yeah. If you, I
But
mean,
that's what.
Jesus clearly loves humanity, but many times he said, how long will I have to suffer this generation? Like he was not trying to be there longer than he had to.
No.
And I think it was really cool that you get to see how human he is by the fact that, I don't know, he necessarily feared the crucifixion, but he was not looking forward to it because he knew it was going to be painful. So you get
Yeah.
to see his human side a little bit.
And then when he was in the cross, he asked forgiveness for the people that was crucifying him because
Yeah.
they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a great thing because you can see that he finally, at his end, he was watching the point of view of humans. We do stuff because we don't know what we're doing, you know? We
Right.
don't. Sometimes we're mean with others because we don't know what the other piece and what the other person is going through,
True.
you know?
Yeah, we're ignorant to it all, and we just react. We're reactionary, and we don't think about other people and what they're doing and how they're feeling and those things.
Exactly.
Um,
That's because we're
also
all in our
going
flesh.
right, but also going back to when you were talking about Jesus, like asking God, if you can take away this cup, but your will, not mine.
Right.
I think it's good to remember too that Jesus is supposed to be a role model and reflection of what we're supposed to be like on earth.
Yeah.
And it was very important that he was completely reliant upon God, because we're supposed to be completely reliant upon God at all points. And that just shows you the like magnitude of his reliance on God.
Yeah, his yeah, he, I mean, he is like obviously otherworldly with that because I don't know if I was in his place if I could do that. I'd be begging every day. I
None of
really
us
don't want to
could.
be
He really was
crucified.
otherworldly.
Yeah. And I certainly, if I was on the cross, be like, God, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'd be like, God, strike them down all right now.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine just the pain that he was in at the end. Because it's like, you know, they speared him and blood and water came out. And when you have water coming out like that, it's because it's from a lack of oxygen because you pretty much died from asphyxiation. So medically, it was proven. What the Bible says is true about the crucifixion. There's
Can I ask
actually.
you guys a very controversial question?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you're ready for this. It's very
Okay.
controversial. I've never heard
Bring it
anyone
on.
ask it before. But considering that Jesus said, "Father, I command my hand, my spirit into your hands," and then he departed, didn't he commit suicide? He took his own life.
Yeah, but didn't he
Know if
also
they had the
say,
ability to kill him.
didn't he, but didn't he also say before that that he is the only one who can
Who can lay down his life?
lay down his life and take it back up again?
Yes, I don't think they
Oh,
even had the
yeah.
ability to kill him. I think he would have been hanging on the cross to this day if he didn't command his spirit out of his body.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. I think he had to actually physically do it himself to complete the, I don't want to say ritual, but the process of otherworldly
Yeah.
forgiveness for all of us.
Probably he's the one that had to decide, okay, I'm gonna turn off now.
Or unless
It is done.
unless God said, okay, son, go ahead, come home. I
Yeah.
mean,
But I mean, another thing that points to that Jesus did take him his own life, or gave his own, like took his own spirit out of his body, was that they said for the amount of time that he was on the cross, it was nowhere near enough time for anyone to die.
Yeah.
He died way early. Like he was like, I'm out.
Yeah, because normally they like break your legs and try to help it, you know, because if your legs are broken, you can't
Right,
stand on
but
them,
they
you
didn't
can't
have to
take you
break
up.
his because he was already dead. But
Yeah.
that was abnormal. He shouldn't have already been dead. Now, keep in mind though that they beat that man, they scourged him
Yeah.
beyond the lethal limit, so he was on the verge of death the whole time he was on the cross, where not
Yeah,
everybody
that's
would
true.
be.
Yes.
I don't know if
Yes,
you
yes,
guys
yes.
realize that too, but like when you look at the amount of lashes that he got
Oh,
in
yeah.
biblically, I forget the number, it was like 36 or so, I don't know, it was whatever the number was. When you look at the reason they put that number there is because it's like, and I think it was Dallas Jenkins that was talking about this in between episodes or something, but like it was like 10 to 15 lashes more than it takes to kill somebody. So it was more lashes than they would normally give someone because that person would have died. And Jesus was
Yeah, they ripped his back
still
apart.
carrying a cross after that.
Yeah, well, part of the way. Who was it?
Yeah.
Simon, something from, I can't remember where.
Yeah,
Help
Simon
him.
from somewhere
Yeah.
helped him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simon from somewhere. That's his name.
I always thought that was a very interesting part of the Bible. It's like, what do you think the reason was that they had Simon help him carry the cross? Because obviously God could have had him carry it completely himself. He could have had someone carry it for him the whole time. I know they're supposed to carry their own cross. Like, why do you think biblically they had Simon help him? Because I can't figure that one out.
That's my question.
Interesting. That's a good one.
Well, I mean,
probably because
Jesus
we
was still
suppose
human at this time, right? I mean, he was divine, yes, but he was still had a human body.
Yes.
So I don't think he physically would have been able to do it. And I think maybe God.
No, but I don't think they put things in the Bible like, I don't think there's very many arbitrary things. I think that most of the details that they put in, there's a purpose. And I believe that
I mean
has a
that
purpose.
This is a detail that God put there. I think that probably, I mean, speculating because I'm not sure, but I probably it will be because we supposed to bring the cross and we supposed to carry the cross with Jesus. Like we
Yeah.
sometimes say, Jesus, take my cross and just I bring it to you and you hold my cross. But it looks like at the end, maybe we're supposed to bring it too, you know,
Yeah.
to hold it with
That
him.
actually makes sense. So, like, he's doing it for us. So it's kind of like teamwork. You have man and God carrying the cross together. That actually makes sense.
Probably. Yes,
Well, if you want
absolutely. Good point.
My app that I have that is very theological, it says Roman crucifixion was designed to exhaust the condemned. Carrying the crossbeam to the execution site was part of the torture process, and Jesus, already weakened by scourging, may have been physically unable to complete the journey alone. Simon's involvement was therefore practical. The Romans needed Jesus alive at Golgotha to complete the execution. This wasn't mercy, it was procedural necessity. If we're looking at it from a human standpoint, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that's all true too. But I do think there's purpose to it. And I like what Veronica said. I think that yeah, it's kind of like man and God.
Yeah, teamwork. I like that.
Well, they talk about Simon of Cyrene, which is who it was, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but none of them actually explicitly state why he carried it for him. It just says that he did.
Yeah. And I believe it's completely unbiblical, right? We're like in The Chosen, we're like, he didn't want to help Jesus. You're like, why would I carry the cross? This man committed the crime. Like, that's all made up, right? But like,
yeah.
it makes a good movie. It makes a good movie line.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, I mean, I think since we're supposed to carry our own crosses, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. But yeah, never mind.
Yeah. But
I agree with what Veronica said.
Still, when we recognize that cross in our life,
yeah,
like right now, I have a friend that she has a lot of problems with her husband, and she told me my cross in my life is my relationship with my husband, and I say, well, at least you know what your cross is in life,
yeah.
So now deliver that cross to Jesus. And tell him to charge to take that cross for you because it's the only way that you can.
All right, here's a question for you guys. What do you think your personal crosses are?
I think I have
that's
many.
That's a deep question, Mandy. You know, that's not.
Yeah, I mean, I would say my main one for me is anxiety, right? Like, anxiety's been a huge thorn in my side for a long time. However, God has used anxiety to help my life, right? Like, anxiety keeps me doing things by deadlines, right? It keeps me motivated, right? It keeps me getting up early and just being, I'm a more responsible person because I have extreme anxiety. However, there are points where I need to really take care of myself because I can crumble fast.
Yeah. I agree with that. What about you, Veronica?
Parenting is a big cross because you cannot relax on parenting. You cannot relax because I am
Lifelong
pretty
commitment.
sure that the moment the mother stops to pray, things tremble in the home. So it's my big mission in life, you know? And then sometimes it's better than others, but sometimes problems show up of nothing, and sometimes there is blessings, but parenting is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Right.
You don't even imagine, because one thing is to think in yourself, and when you are bad sometimes, okay, I will get through this with Jesus. Jesus will help me, and it's okay. But when it's about somebody else that you love so much, like a kid, then it's a different way. Parenting is my cross.
What about you, Mandy?
I think taming my flesh, because my flesh gets me into trouble. My flesh makes me not trust the way I should, and to think things I definitely shouldn't be thinking.
That's okay. I mean, we all do that, but I like the way that you recognize that. It's a huge thing.
And then a secondary cross for me, I believe Veronica was talking about for herself too recently. If not, then I'm sorry and please correct me, but like I'm also on the gossip train, right? We gotta
Oh, yeah.
watch the gossips. But it's hard to like see people doing things that fundamentally don't make sense to you and aren't right to you, and realize that like it isn't right, but like it's not my business and it's not my life, and I just need to do my thing. Right. Like it's very easy for me to look at people at work and be like, this guy's not doing anything. But like realistically, if I'm doing what I have to do, that guy has nothing to do with me. And that stuff all evens itself out at some point.
Well, it's hard not to get involved when you're like kind of right there. It's hard to like step back and be like, it's not my thing.
Yes, exactly.
And
But
it's scary to tell
yeah.
people, like, you know what? We shouldn't be talking about other people. It's not right. It's hard to say things like that to people.
Yeah, the other day I find myself saying something horrible. Horrible. And I even see in front of a customer, and the customer went like, ooh. And I say, what in the world I'm doing? So we have this supervisor that she doesn't take care of her hygiene. And she is also mean. She likes to
Yeah,
push your
it's a bad
buttons, you know?
combo. It's a bad combo.
Yeah,
If you're
she
going to
likes
be
to
mean
push
to
your
people, at
buttons.
least be clean because they've got bullets to use against you.
Exactly. So she's the kind of person that likes to push your buttons, so did you explode, things like that, you know? So then the other day it was a meeting because we have a new GM, and then she came with somebody else, and her hair was like, it looks like she went into shower. And I was checking in a passenger, and I tell my coworker in front of the passenger, I say, oh, it looks like she took a shower. And my coworker was like, and passenger say, well, that was not nice. I say, oh my gosh, what I am doing? I'm very sorry. This is terrible, and that is not right. And then the passenger told me, it is okay. It is okay because you recognize that it was wrong. Yeah,
But
but
was it really? I mean, I think they assumed that you meant that she never showered and that, oh my
yeah, she
gosh, she
never.
took a shower. She's actually clean instead of
I
making an
mean, I think that is
observation
what
that,
she
well,
meant,
her hair
right?
looks wet. Yeah.
That is what
That's what I meant.
she meant.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then that wasn't right.
Exactly. It was very bad, man.
We all do that,
Yeah.
though. I mean, I've said horrible things and like
Yeah.
instantly crucified for it. Like my spirit is like,
Yeah.
no.
Yeah,
And
I
then I have to
apologize immediately.
apologize to people, and then that's hard because that's
Yeah.
not fun either.
Admitting
Yeah,
that you were wrong, yeah, no.
one time I was fighting with this other supervisor that she's mean, and I was like, bah, 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 but I already received Jesus, and I was just baptized, and the Holy Spirit came into the conversation,
Yeah.
and the only thing I have in my mind is like, what are you doing? And I was quiet, like in shock. And then she was keep fighting and looking at me, and then I say, you know what, I'm very sorry. You are my boss, and I am very unrespectful. Forgive me to do this. I need to respect you more. You are my boss, and I'm just an agent. I'm very sorry.
Good for
And
you.
yeah, after that, our relationship changed totally. She respects me, and she never talked to me again like this. All because the Holy Spirit came into the place, and he stopped that fight. I mean, I was like, oh, these things happen, you know?
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, and God knows both of your perspectives, right? So God
Yeah.
knew that if he intervened there, that there was never going to be an issue again because you're both just not on the same page. Just put you instantly
Exactly.
on the same page and now it's a good relationship.
Exactly. Yes.
See, and that kind of ties back into what I was talking about with Lindsay earlier, because like if she hadn't done what she did, I wouldn't be at my church now and I wouldn't be saved again. So it's kind of, you know, the hurt was awful and I do miss her, but at the same time, it was a necessary step that God preordained. Who knows when?
Yeah.
Just like
if it's God's will, like she'll reach out to you again one day, right?
Yeah,
If it's
I know.
God's will.
It's like this. I go to these retreats called Via de Cristo that very soon I had one that I had to go. It's a 4-day retreat. And I always renew myself. It's this very interesting thing with a lot of Christians, different denominations, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And the people from my church is a very old people, you know, we go to a very old church and they go to these retreats normally. But I found out that they are not supporting these retreats anymore.
Oh.
And I was like, what happened? Why they are not supporting this retreat? So I start to investigate, and it looks like because they accept gays in the retreats. So my reaction was, why their sin is bigger than mine? Why? How can we not include them? If God wants them more than anybody, I would think, to be near to him.
I don't think that's necessarily a religious thing. I think that's more of a social imbalance that they have because they're not comfortable with that lifestyle. So anybody who isn't comfortable with something tends to automatically say, oh, it's of the devil. That's not what God wants.
No, no. So I was like, well, now I am more with these retreats. Now
yeah,
I
I mean,
want to go more.
What's more unchristian than trying to keep people out for anything?
Yeah, it's
Right?
like what I think that what Mandy feels. That's why you remind me this about these retreats, because you feel that you were rejected from this church and then they just stop to talk to you. I mean, all the whole church, what the heck is this? I mean, did you tell them that you were going to destroy the church or something? What the heck? I mean, they cannot do that.
Yeah.
Well,
weird.
You know what? You go to this retreat and you make those gay people feel loved and welcome and seen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
included. And I'm thinking like, as far as like the Mandy scenario too, it's like God is, I don't know if he tallies it or like whatever, but like we definitely are supposed to be getting people to the kingdom, right? We're supposed to be getting people to God. And I don't know if he tallies that, but if he does, he probably also tallies all the ones we steer away and the people that like turn their back on you from a church. I don't want that on my soul, right? Like,
I don't want that written in my
God
book of
forgive
life.
Them. They know not what they do.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's funny because I am the only Latino person in that church.
Oh, wow.
And I used to go to the Bible studies, and I used to speak up just like I do here, and say things. These ladies will look at me like, who does she think she is, you know, that she can talk about that. But I didn't feel that they were like, I feel like they needed more fire. Like, I don't feel like with you two here. I feel like you had the same amount of fire than me, but I didn't feel that fire in them. So I wanted to like wake them up all the time, like say, hey guys, we need to go out and
I've been
tell
in that
people about
I've been in that
Jesus.
exact scenario. Like before I like backslid and like you found me and helped me and we worked on me again. There was a time in my 20s when I was like pretty devout, and I was going to a Bible study that I found at a church near me that it was like on like Wednesday nights or whatever, and it was the actual minister, but he would be wearing like jeans and a t-shirt that day because like it was like the off day. And he would just have this Bible study with us, and it was really, really great. And there was me and this other young guy, right? We're both in our 20s, and we always had like insight to things that we thought was important. And the minister like loved us. He like always would be like, yeah, Ben, what do you got? Or like, Joe, what do you got? And like there was this like woman who was like middle-aged, and she had expressed like openly to everyone that she read and read the Bible, but she just never really got it. And one day she said, like, when one, either me or him, one of us was talking, she was like, I don't know why these guys talk all the time. She said, they think they know everything and like they're young and they don't know anything or something like that. Right. And I
Wow.
literally never went to that church again. And it was such a
Oh.
spiritual upbringing time. It was like an actual apostle. It was an apostle. It wasn't just a Bible study. It was an apostleship. Like you signed up, you bought the book, like you went every week to be like trained to be like an apostle. And yeah, I stopped going because that person turned me off. And I feel like the same way you did, where it's like we weren't trying to be better than anybody. We just got really excited about like
Yeah.
reading the word and learning from the word and feeling, oh wow, the Holy Spirit showed me something on this word. And it was
Yeah.
very empowering, right? And then for someone to like shut us down like that just because they didn't feel comfortable. When I think about that person, I just feel like she wasn't getting insight from the Holy Spirit. And that's not my fault. That's not my
No.
fault, right? Like,
No,
and
actually was Satan working on her to make you to be disappointed and don't be going to these meetings that you were learning
and it worked, and I
about
turned
God.
away, and I turned away for a long time.
Yeah. So Satan was great. I did it. But no,
Yeah, the devil's good at doing that.
he likes to use people, even good people.
Yeah, because I don't think this was a bad person. Like, she was like, her son was also in the church. He was really cool. Like, they were like a good family. But just, yeah, one day she questioned us, and I'm just like, I'm out. I'm not putting up with judgmental people. And yeah. I get that
Totally. Let's do one more. And this one's actually my favorite. So we're on Matthew 18, verse 10. This is the parable of the wandering sheep. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. That's my favorite one because I feel like that's kind he came and
That
got me.
lost sheep. Yeah, we always had in one point a lost sheep. And it's an amazing feeling when he find us. That's why I told you the day of your baptism, it will be a party in heaven because God find the lost sheep, and it came to him. That's beautiful. And we always are in the risk to get lost again. So that's why we need to be full of his scripture, always getting in community. It helps a lot to be with other Christians' friends. It
Yeah, I
helps a
love
lot.
this podcast that we do because it's, even if a ton of people aren't listening right now, there are a lot who do regularly, which is great. I hope it brings them some insight or just thinks, gives them, sits them down and allows them to ponder what we've said and maybe go back and reread the Bible and be like, well, maybe this actually means this and, come up with conclusions on their own. But it's also nice to share, our views in a safe area with you guys, because I know some things I say you don't always agree with, and vice versa. But it's if it, we're not,
Yeah,
none
and
of
I'd
us
be
are
willing to
judging each
say
other.
that, you know, some things I say are probably wrong, right? Like,
Yeah, me too.
you know, we're wrong sometimes. It happens for sure.
Well, absolutely, because I mean, we don't know the full extent of why these people wrote exactly what they wrote. And it's impossible for us to know exactly what God was thinking.
Yeah. Now for these sheep, I feel like this is really the animal version of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Right? Like that
Yeah.
one son coming back was a huge celebration of rejoicing. And then the other son who's been there the whole time is like, what's going on? I've been here with you, Dad. Right? Like, so this is
Yeah,
like,
but
we
you didn't
rejoice
wander
over.
off, so yeah.
Yeah.
I
We
saw
rejoice
my
over this lost sheep being
yeah.
found and not
Yeah.
so much
And
about the 99 who are secure.
did you hear that song, The Reckless Love of God?
Yeah, you actually introduced me to the song. That song's so good.
That song is about this.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You need to hear it, Mandy. That song, The Reckless Love of God. It's
That song
about
makes
this
me,
father.
that song actually makes me have, and I get it, and I'm wrong. This is one of the times when I'm wrong, but I will say what comes into my head. That song actually gives me mixed emotions because I feel like it's a great song. It's beautiful. I understand what they mean, but I feel so much like it's blasphemy to say that God's love is reckless, even though I understand that it's supposed to be wild and free and it's all encompassing. But to say it's reckless for me is just, that's like leaning on blasphemy. And it's hard for me.
Do you know who sings
Maybe
it?
you're right. Reckless love of God.
There's a few on here. Let's see here. Is it Trey Dehaney?
No, it's actually called Reckless Love.
Reckless love.
Is it Reckless Love or Reckless Love of God?
Probably Reckless Love of
Reckless.
God.
Oh.
Probably Reckless Love.
Does that sound like it?
I can't hear.
Me neither.
You can't hear it?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, that's not working.
It's a powerful song.
Yeah, it's a very good song. So yeah, like for all the people that heard me say that, like I feel that's blasphemy. Like I said, I'm probably wrong, but to me, like the reason I
Yeah,
don't feel the reason I feel that way is because I always overthink everything, right? And
Yeah.
yes, God's love is all encompassing. It doesn't make sense from a human standpoint because nobody here is able to love like God. God
Nope.
loves us no matter what we do, no matter what bad thing we do. It is unbelievably unconditional love.
Yeah.
But to me, it's not reckless. It's very calculated. God is the same as he was in the beginning. He will be at the end, and he knows exactly what he's doing. It's a very controlled, amazingly unconditional,
Well, you kind of hit the
powerful
money on
love.
the head when you said he's calculated, because when I was driving home this past weekend, I'm thinking, okay, he put Lindsay in my life for this reason, brought me to this church, which in turn made me go to this other church. But I was resaved because of him giving this powerful anointing to Hope Darst, and for in order for her to write this incredible song that's touched thousands of lives already. And then, you know, for me to really just absolutely not fall in love with her, but I love her Jesus energy. I'm kind of addicted to her Jesus energy. She's just, she has an anointing that's just off the charts, you know, which led me to go to this specific church in Nashville because she's a worship leader there. And I, you know, it's just like, I mean, I'm not saying she was born because of me. I'm not trying to be narcissistic or anything, but I'm saying she, do you know what I'm trying to say?
Her mission was.
I feel like, so like, I feel like when we are Christian, like it's like the light on the hill, right? The salt of the earth. You're supposed to be somebody that's magnetic to draw people to God. And I think that she has that magnetism for you and that helped you with your journey.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's just amazing that God, you know, even before I was born, he put this all together and conjured it up, if you will. And just like, okay, this is what's going to happen at this time. And well, she's going to run away for 30 years, but don't worry, she'll come back. Which never thought that was going to happen in a million years. But I was wrong. And I'm so glad I was wrong because I'm enjoying it this time around. A
good.
lot.
Good, good, good.
All right, guys, you have anything final to say or anything?
No, just if you guys could pray for my sister. Like she has had this for years, this ongoing foot problem where her toe will like swell up and her foot will swell up, and they do surgery on the toe and they don't know quite what it is, and she's had to have like drainage, and like now it's to the point where she has such excruciating pain in her like foot and leg that
Oh,
she
wow.
can't sleep at night, which is causing her to have anxiety. And so she just needs all the prayers right now. She's struggling. My sister is someone who's never shown an emotion to me in her life, and now she's struggling with anxiety and things. So, yeah, it's scary.
Okay, I'll put
Scary,
her on
yeah.
my prayer list, definitely.
Absolutely. Thank
Ben,
you.
do you want to
What
pray
is
her
the
out and
name
then we'll
of
do
your
an altar
sister?
call? Amy. Amy. Amy.
Amy.
Write that down because I will forget. Okay. Ben, you want to pray us out and then we'll do the sinner's prayer?
Sure. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us together tonight to go over your word and just giving us the just the companionship and discipleship that we are getting out of like studying and learning together. It's amazing. Whenever you have two or more in your name, you are there and we feel you and we're thankful for you, and just keep blessing us and keep getting your word to the people that you want to reach, and hopefully use this platform for that and not for our own will, but for your will and for your purpose, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.
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 All right.
Amen.
So if anything we said tonight or in past episodes or anything you've heard on YouTube or online or wherever you listen to, whatever you listen to, if any of it's tugged on your heart and you want to say yes to Jesus, it's the best decision you'll ever make. And it's the easiest one too, because it's a very simple prayer, but walking in the light's a little bit different, which it's worth it in the end. I mean, it really is. It's difficult, yes, but no one ever said healing was going to be easy. And that's what, you say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in, or when you invite him in, he just heals you from the inside out. And yeah, it's hard, but
Can I say one
overall,
thing real
yeah.
quick, just to add to that? It's hard to make the decision. And although Veronica and Diana and are right that like the devil will attack you when you become a Christian, especially initially,
Yeah.
life is so much easier with God. It's a hard decision, but the choice makes life easier and better.
And the thing
Yes.
about that is that the bad things, not always the enemy attacking you. I mean, things are hard. That's life is hard, period. It's not always the devil coming against you. It's just, I don't know, maybe God's testing you in some way, or he needs you to snap out of whatever headspace you're in and really listen to what he's trying to tell you and do for your life. But yeah, I mean, it is difficult, but it's 100% worth it. And 6 months ago, I never would have said that. But now, today, just the more that I get into the word and really get to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God on an intimate level, it's an incredible experience for me. All right, Veronica, you ready? Okay, Heavenly Father,
Padre Santo,
I know that I am a sinner
sé que soy una pecadora
and that I need your forgiveness.
y que necesito tu perdón.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son,
Yo creo que Jesús es tu hijo.
that he died on the cross for my sins,
Él murió en la cruz por mis pecados.
that he rose again on the third day.
Que resucitó en el tercer día.
I turn away from my sin
Yo quiero irme de mis pecados
and place my trust in Jesus
y poner mi fe en Jesús.
alone as my Lord and Savior.
Él es mi Señor y mi Salvador.
Please come into my life.
Ha venido a mi vida
Make me a new creation.
y me hizo una nueva creación.
And help me follow you all the days of my life.
Ayúdame a seguirlo cada uno de los días de mi vida.
Thank you for your love,
Gracias por tu amor,
your mercy,
tu misericordia
and the gift of eternal life.
y el regalo de la vida eterna.
In Jesus' name, amen.
En el nombre de Jesús, amén.
And if anyone prayed that prayer tonight, we'd love to hear about it. And I just changed our email address and made it a little bit easier to type because Through the Abyss podcast is a long email to type in. So it is the first letter of each of the words in our title, Echoes Through the Abyss podcast. So it's ETTAP 2026@gmail.com. And like I said, if you need prayer, you just want somebody to pray for you or with you, reach out to us and we'd be happy to do that anytime that we can, or put you on our prayer list. Or if you even want to, I don't want to say learn how to pray, because I'm terrible at it. Like, I go into a panic attack if I have to pray out loud. So that's something I'm working on. But if you want to practice, I don't know, reach out to us. But you can reach out to us with anything. We may not have all the answers, but we'll definitely be there with you to try to figure it all out. We can all do it together, which is what we're supposed to do, because we're not supposed to do this walk alone. Unfortunately for me, I have two, sometimes three, great podcast partners who are really helping me along my journey. And we'd like to be that for other people as well, because that's kind of the whole purpose of this, is to bring Jesus's light into the world, because it's a beautiful thing.
And you help us.
Oh, thank you.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be it for tonight, guys. It kind of went a little bit long, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. We're not on a time limit necessarily. But thank you so much for tuning in. We love you guys. God bless you, everybody. And we will see y'all next time.
Okay. Bye, guys. See you. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Love you guys.
Love you too.
As this episode comes to a close, remember this. No matter how deep the valley, no matter how heavy the darkness may feel, hope still lives. Thank you for listening to Echoes Through the Abyss podcast, where stories from the darkest places remind us that redemption, healing, and faith are always possible. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Until next time, keep walking toward the light.